when it comes to ownership, I think that we're so focused on owning not enough of the right things. We're so gone home on home ownership, but not also stock ownership. We have so much home ownership, we don't have any leftover money to invest.
That's Ashley Van Veen from Bankable Facts. Let's get started.
Six years ago, my wife took nothing but an ideal and faith and turned it into a multi-million dollar business with multiple streams of income. As a woman possessed, she overcame all obstacles and created multiple streams of wealth that has impacted our family for generations to come. From mental health professional, to therapist, to author, to CEO, she is a constant reminder of the grace of God over her life. Get ready to listen to and take notes from Stanelle, the money therapist, as she schools you on money, entrepreneurship, and life skills that was not taught. No more excuses. Wake up!
Tony, thank you for that great introduction. Welcome back to No More Excuses, Wake Up, where we talk about money, entrepreneurship, and life skills that was not taught. I am your host, Stanelle Myers, also known as Stanelle, the Money Therapist. This week, we have a guest in the house from Bmore, Baltimore, Maryland. I have with me Ashley Van Veen, and our topic is money. Ashley Van Veen is a millennial woman from Baltimore, Maryland. She is a respiratory therapist, financial activist, future certified financial planner, and founder of Bankable Facts, an online following that shares relatable, digestible, and socially conscious financial advice to millennials and Gen Z professionals. Ashley became debt-free of student loans and a car loan 2 years ago and is now investing for early retirement. Ashley invests so that she can be the first multimillionaire in her family and inspire other young professionals to do the same. Welcome to the show, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yes, you are like around the corner. You are from Bmore. So when I saw that, I said, wow, Ashley is from Baltimore, Maryland. So yay.
Yes, all the way hailing from Baltimore.
The reason why I have you on the show is because I was really drawn to the fact that you were young. I couldn't tell how old you were, but I can tell you were young and that you were really engaged in trying to help young people such as the Gen Z and the millennials as far as finances. So can you please, one, break down what is a Gen Z and what is a millennial?
A Gen Z, it's based on our age categories and when we were born. So I'm a millennial, I'm in my late 20s. And so the Gen Zs today, they are, I think the oldest, they're 25, 26. That's really significant because it means that they're also in the workforce. And so a lot of these money conversations, we need to include them on that as well.
Yeah. I introduce you as you are a respiratory therapist and a financial activist, and you are also a certified financial planner. You are the founder of Bankable Facts. Can you explain all of that?
Yeah. So I'm a respiratory therapist. Specifically, I'm a travel respiratory therapist. I work around the country. Before the pandemic hit, I was in Los Angeles and I lived out there and I worked there for a year. Now I'm actually back in Maryland in my home state and I'm coming up towards the end of a work contract. So I may go somewhere else. Who knows? So I move around the country. I'm also a money coach. I am planning on getting my certification as a CFP in the future. And so Bankable Facts is the name of my business. And it was just a following I started on Instagram. And I wanted to have that conversation with my millennial peers. Let's think about retirement. Let's think about investing. Let's think about just smart money planning and maximizing on all the avenues that we have presented to us. Most of my friends, they have 9-to-5 jobs. They're career people. Oftentimes we never think that you can build wealth being a 9-to-5 employee.
Yes.
I really wanted that conversation to start and for someone to see me have a knack for explaining very complicated financial terms and breaking it down and making it super relatable. Well, that's what Bankable Facts is all about.
Are you only talking to the audience of Gen Zs and millennials?
Because what I know is very particular to me, and it's who I can relate to. I'm the millennial in at work, so everybody else that I work with, I'm the youngest. Everybody else, they are in their 50s and 60s. And so I have conversations with my older coworkers too, and I do help my mom. And the way how I present my content, it's very 20s and 30s central.
When you said that, which was very important, you can retire or something about the 9-to-5. And a lot of people that are 9-to-5, they think that they cannot build wealth. You say you can build wealth as being a 9-to-5. Can you expound on that?
Yes, we have access to the 401ks, 403bs, TSPs. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what kind of company you work for, right? They're the mm-hmm. same thing. We have access to those things. And essentially what we're doing is we are investing. If we're using them correctly, we're using them to invest so that we can have financial independence. Everyone invests to be financially independent. It's just that historically you wait until you're 65 and then you retire and then you do whatever you like.
Come on, come on.
And so what we're finding statistically, particular people of color, when they get to 65, they're not able to retire fully or retire at all. One of the biggest expenses is medical costs. And so we're not able to live and thrive. If you've noticed, us millennials and Gen Z folk, we live in luxury. We know how to find down vacations. We got the outfits. We can make a dollar out of 2 cents. We are luxuriously living the life. This conversation definitely needs to be had. So particularly one of the things that I want to push is early retirement. The FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early.
I heard of that. Uh-huh.
If anything, we need to assess if we're able to retire above that, if we're able to put away a little bit more, how much more time does that buy us back?
When you say retire on time, what is retiring on time? Because someone that I listen to, Chris Hogan, says retirement is not an age. Retirement is a number. And that is what I say, preach, and teach all the time. What do you mean from what you just stated?
Our typical retirement age is age 65 or 67, mm-hmm. something around that age. The idea is that had you been investing all along, putting your 10 to 15% away from the beginning of your 30 to 40 year career, by that time you would have enough money to live off of your investments for the rest of your life. What we're finding is that people aren't starting as early as they can to mm-hmm. really guarantee this easy life in their retirement.
Yeah.
And so it's so important, especially for the Gen Zs and millennials, to start thinking about this and not wake up in their 40s and think 20 years away or 25 years away, what should I do?
I just had this conversation. I always talk about the importance of actually having your finance together, because I'm 45 and I'm gonna let you know that I did not have everything together at all. And I just heard of the term pension poor. And I'm like, what the heck is pension poor? Pension poor is really what you are stating, is that when people do not have a plan, like you said, when you're in a Gen Z or when you are a millennial or a baby boomer such as myself, when you don't start young, like you said, in your 20s. And so I didn't. My focus was on cars and all kinds of stuff. And I was just telling someone that you're putting your money in a car and that car is your retirement. So you literally driving in your retirement. And why do I say that to people? Because I did that. And it's very important. And then also when you're talking about your companies, as far as the 401ks or the SEP IRAs or 403bs. And I just started a simple IRA for my staff because my staff are all W-2s. I found out that the 401 is better. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stop the simple IRA in November and I'm going to start the 401k. Why? Because it is better for my staff.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I say I'm a 9-to-5-er, and then Bankable Facts, it's now a business and I'm opening a SEP IRA for it. I'm so happy that you brought that that up because as business people, we need to start thinking about how else can we have our business income serve us, not even just today, but in the future. And because I have strong personal finances in my business, I'm religious about, you know, every dollar that I make, I put 25% of that just away in that account so I can invest it. We got to think about longevity.
You do. And please speak on that because, and this is so important. And I am so glad that you are here because people don't know when you have a business, you can now start a retirement plan. And people are not doing that, that have these businesses, but you are. So what got you on the mindset as a millennial? Because you are the first person out of the many people that I talk to. What got you on that road of saying, when I open up my business and start my business, I'm going to start investing through my business?
A lot of that came from some of the people in the Instagram community that I do follow. Also, you know, when you look at your income, your W-2 income is taxed much higher than looking at your business income and all these things. So it was just me thinking, how do I best serve myself? Right now, my business is I'm a sole proprietor. So I have to think creatively of how to save on taxes so that there's longevity in my business. This is a baby business, but what I'm doing is starting the habit of building wealth in that way, of that habitual putting away a little, not spending everything. Of course, that came from me, from my personal financial life and how I did things that way. So I'm able to transfer it over. But yeah, you're right. Not a lot of business owners are talking about these investment accounts and how to be tax savvy with your earnings. Of course, there's many ways. You know, I looked on your website and I remember seeing that you talked about a simple IRA and I was like, okay, you know, but a lot of the influencers who I come across on Instagram, I often ask this question, how do you do your finances? Do you have investment accounts for your business? Do you have where do you bank? Do you have a preference for where you bank for your business? Those are my questions, of course, because I'm a money person. So treading into the business world, I'm really taking it slow, but I'm also trying to make sure I'm asking the right questions and I'm learning from people who are coming before me.
And so when you ask those questions, what type of answers are you getting?
For the most part, nothing. There's this one influencer that I follow on Instagram. Her name is, she goes by Delian, the money coach. Now she's a former attorney. She quit her job and now she talks about how to get your money together and things like that. But she talks about using a solo 401k to invest some of the money that she earns in her business. And she hopes to retire in her 40s. This is one of the avenues she's using to invest so that she's able to do so tax efficiently.
Yes. You sound like you're doing your homework.
Doing my homework, my Googling.
Yes. Would you say you're Googling?
Yes.
Yes. See, people don't Google. My husband asked me something the other day. I said, Google it. You will find the information. I think that's important because investing is the future for wealth. People are quick to purchase cars, have debt, credit cards. We all do that, right? We all have done that. But the thing with that is when you are giving Infinity, Chrysler, and Mercedes money every month, you're not giving Ashley or Stanelle the money for your future self. So you're really robbing from yourself. And I robbed for myself, let me tell you. And that's what got me on this journey of finances because I robbed for myself. I paid $50,000 in debt, literally, in 11 months.
Yeah, wow.
And that's what got me here. Oldest is, he'll be 27. And then I have my two 21-year-olds. I have four kids. And I have my 15-year-old. Three car notes, three credit cards. It was ridiculous. And my Chrysler's that's sitting outside that's not working, I paid $25,000 for that Chrysler 10 years ago. And don't you know I end up paying $45,000 for that?
Wow.
Because it's interest. That money could have been my compound interest. And I was investing that 10 years ago. I was paying $527 a month for one vehicle. My husband was paying $537 for his. And then we were paying $300 a month for my sons. And if we do the math, we're talking about almost $1,500 a month. I still didn't tell you about the mortgage. We didn't eat yet. We didn't bathe yet. I didn't tell you about the water, the electric. I'm really passionate about this and I'm really glad that you are are young and you are changing the view on how people really think when it comes to money, or trying to get people to think when it comes to money.
Yes, for sure. One of the things I love to highlight, especially millennials and Gen Zs, is that when we want to invest, what do? We download the Robinhood account, the apps, and we want to run there first. But the thing about investing, or just even earning money in general, is you have to pay taxes. If we can relieve the tax burden, why not start there first? That is literally what I do every single time. One of my cousins, they're 18 and 21. I'm like in their ear, Roth IRA, Roth IRA. They have earned income now. They can open up these accounts.
Yes. Roth IRA. Could you share that with the audience?
Yeah. Let me break down the term Roth IRA. IRA stands for individual retirement account. This is an account that you can use to invest, to be tax savvy. There's two kinds of IRAs. You have Roth IRAs and you have traditional IRAs. When you hear the word Roth or the word traditional, think of them as adjectives to describe the kinds of accounts that you're using. So similarly, you can have a traditional 401k and a Roth 401k. But those accounts you can only access through with your W-2 employer. So having a Roth IRA, whether or not your employer offers any kind of investment, you know, my cousin, he's 18, he's working at a trampoline park. Mm-hmm. They don't have a retirement account for him, a 401k for him, but he can open a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
And put $50 away into the account, and it has been automatically doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the conversation that I like have with like the next generation and the next generation, right? So that's where the wealth begins. You start there because the same investments that you buy in Robinhood is the same investment that you can buy in your Roth IRA at a company that gives you that capability to open a Roth IRA. Robinhood does not at this moment in time. If you were buying GameStop at Robinhood, it would have been better if you bought GameStop at Fidelity or Vanguard, because if you made $50,000, that's $50,000 that you don't have to pay taxes on.
Yes.
As opposed to buying it outside of that and having to pay taxes on $50,000. That's the whole idea of being a little bit more tax savvy when you're investing.
And I'm glad you mentioned when you said Robinhood, because the first thing you hear is people going to the Bitcoins or the Robinhoods or those different apps, not really fully understanding there's other types of investments.
Yeah, I like the mutual funds. I like to invest with mutual funds, particularly index funds, which are examples of mutual funds, because they are inexpensive investments. They have a low expense ratios. And these are like the meat and potato of investing. If you want to experiment with day trading and Forex trading, and even Bitcoin trading, right? These are, make sure you get the meat and potatoes down first. And then you decide what percent of your income you're going to use to buy Bitcoin or day trade or anything like that. You want to make sure that you are reducing risk.
When it comes to those things like Robinhood and Bitcoin and all of that, you have to know your stuff. You really have to be into that. And me, I want to be a consistent person that is tucking away money in different areas, you know? And a lot of people don't know that. You mentioned mutual funds, because some people say, well, I have an emergency account and I'm going to take my emergency account and let it sit in the bank. And that's fine because that's liquid. But then you can have a certain type of mutual fund to where you're not touching it. What a lot of people don't know is that if you don't touch that for 5 years and you have it just under cash, you can be able to take that money out. So say if you say, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to get a house, I'm going to put this money up for a down payment, or I'm going to get married in 5 years. And you can put that under the cash component. So just being educated on what you can and can't do with your finances, because a lot of people frown upon these traditional IRAs because they can't touch it.
Yeah. And that's why a Roth IRA is particularly, for lack of better words, it's really sexy in the fact that it gives you a lot of capability. So theoretically, the money that you put inside of your Roth IRA, you can take it out penalty free regardless. No matter, you don't have to, there's no waiting period or anything like that. So the Roth IRA, you can take the money out, but you cannot touch any of the gains until after 5 years. You can take the money out for, if you're over age 59 and a half for income, you can take it out to put a down payment on your first house. I believe you can pay for medical expenses. All this will be penalty free. So there's just a lot of flexibility that that account offers. Ideally, you should just leave it there. It's meant for you to use it for retirement. So the longer you have it growing in the market is the better, like
compound
the better
interest. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Compound interest is going to work in your favor if you just let it sit. Yeah. Think about your credit card. If you never paid any of your payments on your credit card, it will just continue to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't want to do that, but that's what happened. People don't pay it and it grows. So if you think about that, as far as flipping that mindset over to the investment, it would be better just to let it sit.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I asked you, what are three things you want people to know about you? And one, you said that I'm a healthcare hero, a respiratory therapist. What actually is a respiratory therapist?
Yes. Right now, I am a respiratory therapist for adult patients who, and everybody has COVID. So I help to treat COVID patients, particularly if someone needs something more than oxygen. Let me just give you a background. If you go into the hospital, you may not see a respiratory therapist if you're there for just general surgery or if you're there for nothing that is like critical. So in a critical care unit, you'll see a respiratory therapist dealing with, if you have to be on a breathing machine, a breathing tube, and a ventilator, if you need oxygen, really high needs oxygen or high percentage of oxygen. If you are post cardiac arrest, if you have had a surgery and you needed intubation. So I've also worked with babies. I've been part of the care team waiting for the newborn baby to come and help them transition into taking their first breaths. And sometimes premature babies, they're not ready to breathe on their own. So I assess them and I support them with oxygen and other complicated machines.
Wow.
And therapies to get them strong and healthy. I've treated newborn babies to 100 and something years old and in between.
You are a healthcare hero. With the pandemic, I know you've seen a lot. How are you transitioning with that?
It's a lot. There's still people who are suffering and dying, although the numbers have decreased by a lot. But patients that I have, it just seems like they're very, very severe cases still. So I just wouldn't want to win the lottery of getting it, even if it's kind of going away. Hopefully that's what the trend is looking like for now. It's been a really tough year. A lot of the patients, we couldn't invite family members to be in the hospital and visit. And so they went through tough times alone.
That's it. I want to say thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
You said, I believe that personal work and policy are important to help women and people of color become financially fit to better navigate our society.
So I became debt-free 2-3 years ago.
Yes.
I bought a brand new car and I wouldn't recommend it again because the value of that brand new car is $13,000. I paid $22,000.
Girl, that's what I was just telling you. I know.
Oh my gosh. But it was the message that was around me. Nobody sat me down and say, don't do it, girl. Yeah, I don't like any extra. It's amazing to just pay for food and your cell phone. It's amazing.
You said it hurt you. It went from $13,000 to all that money. Like you said, if we do the opposite, and you paid 22. How you think I feel when I pay 45?
Yeah. I was like, I prayed out this brand new car in 10 months. And I was so proud. And then I look back and oh my gosh, Kelly Blue Book 6 months ago or more, I looked at the value and it was $16,000. And then last week I look up like the value of the same car, same condition, is $13,000. I mean,
so you paid your brand new car off in 10 months?
I did. Yeah.
That's great. Well, first of all, congratulations for that.
I purchased it for $22,000-$23,000. This was in 2017.
Okay.
In 3 years, it has lost $10,000 in value. Meanwhile, that money growing could have been so much more than the market did exceptionally last year. That's a learning lesson.
That's a learning lesson.
Trust me, I've done a lot of mistakes and I'm always like this person in the ear, like, don't do it.
Yeah. And you're telling other people, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you aren't. Yeah. It's true. I drive a 1994 Lexus. What? Yeah. My Lexus is the bomb. It's all leathered out. I have the original CD player. My Lexus, when I drive, is certain people, it's either older white men or black drug dealers that stops me and like, how much you selling your car for? My Lexus is the bomb. Hit it out. What is the LS400, the Coach Edition? Yes.
Wow.
One of the square kind. It rides like butter. And it was $3,500 and I paid cash. Miles it had.
How many?
1994. 110.
Wow.
Yeah. And it rides like butter. And I had my car now for almost 3 years. Going on 3 years.
I get the hesitation of buying used because people are like, there's always something. I don't know the history of it. And I just want to feel safe and all that stuff. I think there's good cars on the secondhand market. Not necessarily. These cars are not car wrecked or they were put under odds. There's so many reasons why cars are being resold.
Right. You're passionate. And I feel your passion. You're passionate like me. I'm not against people having good stuff. I get that. I'm not against that. But make sure that you're fully invested, all right? That you are maxing out everything you can possibly max out. Meaning that there's going to have to be some income coming from somewhere, but you can possibly max out. And then when you get to that point, in my opinion, and this is what I teach my students, don't have no debt.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean including your house. It might take you some time because that money that you paid on that car, such as myself, that $45,000, I owe $45,000 on my rental property. My rental property, and once I pay the $45,000, I'm done. My rental property would have been paid. So it's just really just thinking about it, you know?
Yeah, I think the question you would ask me, what I said that you do have to do some personal work, but then there's also some political activism, social activism that we need to acknowledge as well. Because yes, budgeting and taking some self-responsibility, it begins there with your personal finance. And I know that one of the things I've become more conscious about is I know that I am somewhat more privileged than others. And so I cannot say in order to motivate others, like if I can do it, you can do it too, because my circumstance is completely different from someone else's. And if we want to bring our brothers and sisters with us, we need to provide a level for them and fight for, just help to advocate a more equitable society. During the pandemic, I'm a healthcare worker. One of the things that the hospitals did was that they stopped contributing to everybody's 401ks. They stopped doing the match. I wish I had started a petition to say, don't do that, because there's a racial wealth gap, and then there's a gender gap, and then also there's an investing gap where women are not investors, and so more women need to be investing. Also, a large number of the healthcare women are, and so I really wish that was not a decision that was just decided on so quickly. It should have been a little bit more well thought out, and I wish that we had petitioned for it not to happen. Like just certain things like that. It is important that we are recognizing that having access to schools that teach financial literacy, and where are these schools? Is there funding in underrepresented communities to teach financial literacy? And do we have enough role models and mentors in order to help people to make that personal work a lot easier? So because we want to give people more access to building wealth.
Yes, I like that. But you said that you are privileged than others.
Yeah, I had this conversation with one of my friends. It was very hard for me to say that because everybody got to stay home, work from home, and not have to go and literally deal with people with COVID within 6 feet of them, having to take care of them. But there were so many things that led me to be able to do so. One, I'm educated. I had to get the education to do so. I didn't have a lot of student loans, so that's one thing. I did have some. When I'm coaching my one-on-one clients, I think about if you'd only see the way how I see it, but then really that was impossible for them. They didn't walk the same path as me. Their parents didn't provide the same things as my parents did.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't have the same job opportunities because of where they went to school, who they knew, all those things. That's what I mean by my own privileges.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because when I first started on a path of financial literacy, it was under Dave Ramsey, the baby steps. I was actually teaching one of his courses. I taught two of them and had about 50 people. What I learned, and that's what turned me into having Money Therapy Institute, you can't always do what other people have done because it don't work for everybody. So I was listening to those in my classroom. They said, this not going to work for me. I cannot yeah. just give up my life. Even though we see it work for millions, I know that his plan does work because I took it. It 100% worked. But what did not work with that plan for me and with my students was that I had to, for me, I had to make adjustments. And my adjustments was I still had to live. So I created the burner system because I had to live. I couldn't go on vacation and I didn't go. I didn't do it for a year. But when I had my students, they was like, time out. In order for me not to lose them, I had to think, how can I engage them because they're not me? I'm going to follow his plan 125,000%. But these other people are not going to do it. So what can I do so I don't lose them? And that's how I created the burner system. And that's basically you're still living, saving, and building.
Yeah.
Paying off debt. And I'm glad that you said that because you can't copy and paste stuff for everybody. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I learned that through my students because I was just doing, oh my gosh, this way. But I learned through them. They was like, no, you about to lose me. Like, no. And I was like, you know what? You're right though. It don't work for everybody. You have to give yeah. people an option. And that's why I created my budget spreadsheet because my spreadsheet for people that get welfare checks, food stamps, SSI, that's what my spreadsheet, because I don't see no spreadsheet out there for that and yeah. putting it in a whole different category. I have a whole different category for that. I don't see any spreadsheet out there for the mom that be at the welfare line. I have that, earned that from my students that came underneath of my process because I went through the whole masterclass of Dave Ramsey certification, everything. His coaches, they trained me
yeah.
whole nine yards. But when you're talking about different type of people, different type of economics, different type of ethnicities, different type of cultures, everything can't be just in one way. And that's what I learned from them.
We're very similar, I'm finding out in this conversation. But I also, like my introduction into financial literacy was through Dave Ramsey. We all have different ways that we got brought up. So for me, that was just normal. And then when I tried to help other people, I realized that they just couldn't be that way, the way how I got myself out of debt. It worked for me, but it didn't work for everybody else. And that's because my life was set up differently, but theirs weren't.
Yes.
Another thing that I don't like about his program, and of course I'm on the other side of it, so I can look back and say, like, I would have done this differently, is the waiting to invest part. I talked about that $23,000 that I put away into that car, and now it's $10,000 of it. It's gone. During that time, I didn't invest. I have nothing to show for it, but the fact that the debt is gone. Now, I'm happy the debt is gone because I've taken the lots of leaps and bounds because of it, because I can move around lightly, you know, I'm moving around the country and stuff like that. And I'm coming up towards the end of a contract and I don't have a job lined up. So, but I'm like, I have so much peace within that it'll come. Right. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't change that. Like, I just love the freedom of being debt free gave me. If you're listening to this, don't ever stop contributing to your 401k, especially if there's a match to be had. At least do that. Make that the bare minimum and then put out all the other fires when you're at it.
Tell them. You said one of my favorite pastimes is salsa dancing. What?
Yes. But I'm like dying right now because we're not socializing in the clubs right now. Salsa dancing is just something that I picked up. My first job, I was in this town. It wasn't a major city or anything like that. And so salsa dancing was like the thing to do.
And you learned how?
In the beginning, and I was horrible. And they were patient with me and I got it. So it was something that I did as I traveled. If I go to Europe, I look up the salsa clubs there. Or if I go to anywhere in the world, matter of France, there was like a salsa club there too.
I love it.
I did competitions and, you know, conferences.
Girl, so you can be out here learning how salsa dance. It is fun and you can get fit like that because you are burning calories.
Oh, yeah. Having fun doing it. Yeah.
Yes. And it looks sexy too. And yes. I know you'd be feeling yourself, Ashley.
Of course.
We all have words of affirmation that empower us. What words of affirmation would you like to share with the listeners? And you said, my creativity is unique to me and therefore valuable to others. I am comfortable in high vibrations and it is easy to stay there.
Both of those, they speak to me at the moment, developing my brand and my company, Bankable Facts. books. I like to lean into my creativity and to not make it boring and drab. And then the other part of me being vibrating higher, when you're in the swing of things, I just want to get to that place and know that things will kind of just flow into each other just so naturally. Abundance is natural. Those are things that I'm affirming for my life at this moment.
I really like the part that I'm comfortable in high vibrations and it's easy to stay there. I love that.
Yes.
You said that.
I just made that up.
Oh, what? Wow. I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't say who it was by.
Oh, wait. No, for that one, Abraham Hicks, if you're familiar with that, it's easy to stay in a good high vibration, high productivity, high abundance. Like I want to affirm that for my life for sure.
Okay. I like that. I really like that. I found on your Instagram from Tyler Perry, it says, ownership is key for me. That has changed everything in my life. I own every play, every movie, every character, every TV show. Tyler Perry. The reason why that stood out to me when I was looking you up, Tyler Perry is my go-to person with everything. Tyler made a way for himself. He put himself in his place. He made a way to be his own character. So when he said that he owned every play, every movie, every character, I never like to be out there. I am really the behind the scene person because I like to see direct. I like to be the one in the back doing the directing. So that means that I like to do the interviews. I like the one to be in charge. You have to be honest with yourself.
I posted that on the brink of the news of him becoming a billionaire. I like the breakdown of his actual net worth. And one of the things that I pointed out was that he owned real estate and his toys and his cars, but they were just a small percentage of his net worth. When it comes to ownership, I think that we're so focused on owning not enough of the right things. We're so gone home on home ownership, but not also stock ownership. We have so much home ownership, we don't have any leftover money to invest. We need to make sure that when we're owning homes, I religiously, whenever I'm looking places to live, it has to be no more than a third of my take-home pay of my overall money. And that's important so that, yes, I can have a place that's nice to live, but it's not going to own me. Home ownership is good, but also I need to own all the other businesses in the economy that helping people get rich.
I like that.
So we need to focus on what we're owning.
Exactly. And you really don't own it until you get that deed.
He has a balance. He talks about his studio, his plays, his library, the catalogs. Like those were all things that made him money. He also has ownership in BET. He has cash and investments, right? He owns his own businesses, but he also owns stock in other businesses in the economy. It's a very all-inclusive idea.
Woo, girl. You spit it. Spit it out for these young people. Everything that you have said since the time that we have been talking, you have been really bringing knowledge. And I appreciate you for that. You're absolutely right. When you talk about ownership, I just recently purchased a home in Florida, a huge home in Florida. And it's my vacation home. And I'm between Florida and New Jersey. It's my dream home on the water, everything that you can possibly think about. However, when you say this, I made sure that every duck was in a row prior to doing it. So I have tenants.
Yeah.
House where my tenants are. Like I mentioned to you, I owe $45,000 almost paid. Who's paying it? The tenants are, not me, right? Yeah. So when you talk about having home ownership, being fully invested in everything to possibly be 100% as much as you can. So that's why when I mentioned earlier, you know, about the SEP IRAs and now going into the 401ks, because a 401k, you can put up to $58,000 versus the $13,500 in a SEP to what I'm doing. And I was told that I couldn't do a 401k. Then when I find out I can, I'm going to, you know, do a 401k. So it's really about having all those ducks in a row. But what you said was with Tyler Perry has ownership. Me being a 45-year-old woman that had my businesses for 6 years, it feels good when I have lawyers reach out to me asking me, do I want to sell my business?
Wow.
And then that's a whole different level of what you were just saying. I haven't even thought about that. So that to me is what Tyler is saying. When you come to that point and come to that level, people sell stuff all the time. One bank might sell another bank, one bank go here. I'm glad you said that. But a lot of people, they stress on home ownership, but they're not really placing it on certain things as far as investment. Ashley, you have been great.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed every moment of this conversation, for sure.
What do you want to let the listeners know? What is the main key takeaway?
The main key takeaway is your financial life should serve you and everything that makes you unique. If you like to vacation, make sure you're carving out enough money so that you're enjoying the simple things in life that make you really, really happy. It's good to have an overall goal to not only serve your present self, but also to serve your future self. The whole idea of investing. I don't think anyone should deprive themselves. We shouldn't punish ourselves when it comes to money. We should spend more intentionally and give ourselves permission to want more for ourselves. And another takeaway is for women, go after the job that's high paying. Stop subscribing to the fact that just because something you get paid doesn't mean that you won't enjoy it. You can have a job that you like and also get paid your worth and ask for your worth. Make sure that you are getting paid at least at the cost of living for the city where you're living, and also bring value to your workplace so that when you come to the table and say and ask for a raise, this is why. And if you don't get your worth, then you move on. The universe is abundant.
Ashley, thank you so much for all your information, everything, talking about the Gen Zs, the millennials, everything that you give. Bankable fact. Thank you for all of that, because there are people out here that are starving for information. And my information might not be a good fit for someone, but yours may be. I do appreciate you for that. No more excuses, y'all. Y'all know what y'all need to do. Y'all need to
wake up.
Hey, smart people. I have a 3-month one-on-one personal or business coaching program. As you all know, I paid off $50,000 in debt in 1 year. I will teach you how I stayed out of debt using my burner method and personalized spreadsheet I created to fit my lifestyle and keep me on track. You will learn how to understand your money communication style using my financial treatment plan. Also, if you own a small business and you feel stuck with cash flow or feel disorganized, I teach business owners and self-employed entrepreneurs such as yourself to financially maximize your money, build wealth using your business income, and retire working on the business while your business continues to run, such as myself. You can book a call with me. The link is in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to No More Excuses, Wake Up. If you love the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Spotify. To learn more about me and my different agencies and what I do, go to StanelleMyersEnterprises.com. While you're there, check out Money Therapy Institute and watch my video where you will see me doing a little acting, showing you how I fought and kicked down closed doors. You can also click on Stanella Money Therapist and get my free budget spreadsheet. And of course, you can email me at contact@StanellaMoneyTherapist.com. I'm also on social media, on Facebook at Stanella Money Therapist and Instagram at Stanell the Money Therapist. No more excuses. Y'all know what y'all need to do. Wake up.